Mr. Siders, what are you looking at? Those are words that I heard in middle school more than once. You see, it was all about paying attention, and I had a problem when it came to paying attention in class. During Latin class, I would sit on the third floor next to the windows, and I got to see the athletic fields. I watched the gym classes outside. It was kind of fun to watch. And then in English class, I was on the second floor, but across the street from us, they were building condominiums. I was good for the whole period. It was great. It was great. But at some point, it wasn't unexpected for me to hear, "Mr. Siders, what are you looking at?" I could be distracted easily back then, and truth be told, I could be distracted now. I'd like to be downstairs and see what's going on with those rubber eggs and the, you know, snapping the fingers and the smoke and the disappearing Jesus. That was kind of cool. Now, I'm guessing there are things that can distract you as well. Whether it's looking out the window, checking your email or text messages or voicemail or Instagram status or Facebook status during worship, maybe during the preaching. That could be a distraction. It could be the desire for money, for power, for prestige, for status, and planning our next move about what we're going to do professionally, or maybe about where we desire to be socially. It's easy to become distracted, and it's easy to devote ourselves to distractions. You know, distractions are not uncommon things. We've seen it as we've traveled this year together in the story through the scriptures. In the fall, as we looked from Genesis through the prophets, we saw what happened when some of these biblical characters got distracted. We've seen it this spring as we've looked in the Gospel of Matthew. We've seen Jesus' disciples have adventures in distraction. Well, this morning we will read about the last earthly meeting that Jesus had with his followers, in which he gives a command and a promise and a dramatic exit. I invite you to turn with me and follow along as I read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And again, in here there are no rubber eggs, there are no, you know, snapping your fingers and having smoke, but there is a disappearing Jesus. Let's pay attention to that. Listen to God's word. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes and After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, for you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And to that end, Lord, we ask that you would help us not only to hear your word, but to take it to heart, that we might obey and be faithful to follow you, for we ask it in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. What are you looking at? The things that we look at have the potential to become distractions for us. In this text, we see a couple things that may have become distractions for the followers of Jesus. The first was looking at doubts. Doubts have major impact on the ways that we function each day. Doubts are prevalent in most of our lives, in all parts of our lives, and doubts actually are basically a lack of certainty. Some people doubt the words or motives of others. Some people doubt the commitment or the love of significant others. Some people doubt the existence of a loving or a just Creator God. In many cases, the doubts of individuals may exist because of the situations or circumstances in which they have found themselves. In the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and the ascension, Jesus appeared to his followers, and as the text says, he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He met his followers in the midst of their doubts. Think about it. At the garden tomb, he was there. He walked with two of them on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus and heard from them about their dashed hopes. And then he challenged them about why they were slow to believe. He took Thomas seriously when Thomas said, "Unless I see, I will not believe." He stood among them in a locked room. They thought he was a ghost. They feared. And then he asked them, "Why are you frightened? Why have doubts arisen among you?" Jesus gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. I think that these 40 days were necessary because it's not every day that you see someone rise from the dead, is it? I mean, have you ever seen it? I haven't. There was some doubt, even when they saw him. I'm grateful that the Gospels include these post-resurrection stories. They show that Jesus was willing and able to meet his followers in the midst of their doubts and to challenge them. And that gives me hope that Jesus is able and willing to meet me in the midst of my doubts and challenge me. What are the distractions in your life? What are the doubts that are distracting you? Are they doubts that are keeping you from believing who Jesus is? Are they doubts that keep you from moving forward in your next step of faith with Jesus Christ? Maybe, just maybe, Jesus wants to meet you in the midst of your doubts and challenge you to consider a new way of looking at life and trusting him. Why? Because Jesus desires and deserves our undistracted devotion. What are you looking at? Maybe you're looking for power. Jesus' followers asked him a question about power right in this text this morning. They said, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus, throughout his ministry, talked about the kingdom of God often. And the hope of the Jews was that the Messiah would come, that the Messiah would set things right and establish God's kingdom here on earth. This question points to their hope in Jesus to do that. But I think there's also the possibility of an alternative motive. I mean, if Jesus did establish his kingdom immediately, the disciples would be in line for some pretty powerful political positions, wouldn't they? Jesus doesn't give them time to think about that. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority." Jesus' followers would receive power, but it wasn't the kind of power that they expected. It wasn't political power, but a power even greater. It was spiritual power. The word used for power in this text is the Greek word dunamis. It's the word from which we get our word dynamite. And it wasn't power to blow things up, but power to build the kingdom of God. They would have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was promised by the Father, so that they might bear witness, so they could tell the story of all that they had seen and heard and experienced and knew to be true about Jesus Christ. They would be witnesses of Jesus Christ, both locally and globally. And we've heard about witnesses of Jesus Christ this morning in the work of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. They are witnesses on the campuses of Southern Connecticut to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That power that Jesus had to give had the potential to do wonderful things. And it still does. And yet, what do we think about when we think about power? It can distract us, can't it? If we're looking for power, prestige, or position, or status in our community, in our work, at school, in our homes, or even in the church, if we're looking to gain power, then we're probably being distracted by our own desires. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into people who have the ability to tell our story about how Jesus has been at work in our lives. And you see, Jesus desires and deserves our undistracted devotion. What are you looking at? One of the things that the followers of Jesus were looking at in the text were clouds. Right after Jesus spoke about the power that his followers would have, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. Think about clouds, if you would. Mickey talked about clouds. Moses met God in a cloud. When Jesus was baptized, there was a cloud and a voice from heaven. When he had his transfiguration, there was a cloud and a voice. "This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. Listen to him." But this time there's a cloud and no voice. Jesus has left the earth. And the disciples were there, looking up into the sky. And we know that because Luke writes that two men in white robes came and asked them, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking into the sky, looking into the heavens?" I mean, what could they have been thinking? Really? Jesus left again? Where did he go? I can't see him anymore. Is he coming back? What in the world does this mean? When I think about them looking up into the cloud, I think about daydreaming. I think about, is there something I can see up? They had a job to do. They needed to get to Jerusalem and wait for the gift the Father promised. It would be easy to be distracted by looking at clouds. I know. I've done a lot of it. The text we're looking at this morning talks about the ascension. So what's the point? It's a good question. When I read the scriptures, I tend to ask myself the so what question often. Sometimes I even speak those words as I read a text, and I said, so what? What does that mean then? What did it mean for those who originally heard it? What does it mean for us now? A couple weeks ago, Pastor Brandy, Pastor Jimmy, and I were talking about this scripture text, and I said, I'm taking a look at it, and I'm asking myself, so what? And those words slipped out. And Brandy very quickly said, so everything. And she was right. So everything. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven where he is at the right hand of the Father. The right hand position is a position of power. And he had all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. In Hebrews, we read that Jesus was seated at the right hand of God. The fact that he was seated affirms the fact that his work of redemption in his life, death, and resurrection was completed. And now, because of his ascension, his work of intercession on our behalf continues. Jesus' abiding presence is with us each day in our joys and sorrows, in our frustrations, in our challenges, in our work, in our leisure, in our worship. He is with us. He is with us when we have to make and face those tough decisions. He is present with us to help us love those people who seem absolutely unlovable to us. He is with us. He is present to help us make sense out of life when life seems confusing, stressful, and even unlivable at times. The Holy Spirit empowers us to bear witness of the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus desires and deserves our undistracted devotion. Mr. Siders, what are you looking at? It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to doubt, to look for power, to look at clouds. It's easy to be distracted by so many things. And yet the ascension of Jesus Christ helps us not to look at our distractions, but to look beyond our distractions to the one who died for us, who rose for us, who reigns in power for us, and who prays for us each and every hour of every day. Jesus desires and deserves our undistracted devotion. May it be so for us. Amen.